Mark Levin, Ruling Classes in Revolt – Completely Rogue and Out of Control. By Jeff Poor on August 15, 2022. Sunday, conservative talker Mark Levin opened his FNC Life, Liberty and Levin program with a warning about what the FBI raid on former President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, Florida means to the public. Levin said the raid was a sign the so-called ruling was in revolt. He likened the action and others by the Department of Justice to what was seen out of the old Soviet Union and Marxist governance. Transcript as follows. Levin, we have two tremendous guests tonight, Victor Davis Hanson and Leo Terrell. And we're going to spend a lot of time with him. Letting them speak about the abomination that took place at Mar-a-Lago, because it's not only an abomination in and of itself, but it is more evidence that illustrates the tyranny that is spreading. We're in a battle right now in this country between liberty and tyranny. That's the distinction. It's not even a party distinction, and it is an ideological distinction. What kind of a country do we want to live in? You have a Department of Justice headed by radical political apparatchiks. Not just Merrick Garland, but under Merrick Garland, names you probably never heard of before. The Deputy Attorney General is probably the number one Svengali in the Department of Justice. Lisa Monaco, longtime Obama operative. Vinita Gupta, radical leftist. Kristen Clark, radical leftist. She is the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. Kenneth Polite, the Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division. And the U.S. Attorney in Washington, D.C., Matthew Graves. These people make up the cabal, if you will, of the Department of Justice Politburo that is making decisions about the future of this country and are using the law in a way that we were told would create tyranny. Frederick Bastiat was a brilliant, brilliant French philosopher. He only lived to about 50. As I recall, he died of tuberculosis. He was one of the favorites of Ronald Reagan. And he wrote, "The law perverted. And the police powers of the state perverted along with it. The law, I say, not only turned from its proper purpose, but made to follow an entirely contrary purpose. The law becomes the weapon of every kind of greed. Instead of checking crime, the law itself is guilty of the evils it is supposed to punish." In his treatise, The Law, Frederick Bastiat. And that is exactly what's taking place today. I want to read something to you. It is the Soviet Constitution of 1934 in my book Emeritopia of several years ago. It's a fantastic constitution. I think I mentioned this to you many years ago, early on in this program. Article 118, citizens of the USSR have the right to work, that is a guaranteed right to employment and payment for the work in accordance with its quantity and quality. Article 119 of Stalin's constitution, citizens of the USSR have the right to rest and leisure, the institution of annual vacations, with full pay for workers and employees, and the provision of a wide network of sanatoria, rest homes, and clubs for the accommodation of the working people. Article 120, citizens of the USSR have the right to maintenance in old age and also in case of sickness or loss of capacity to work. This right is ensured by the extensive development of social insurance of workers and employees at the state expense, free medical service for the working people, and the provision of a wide network of health resorts for the use of the working people. Article 121, citizens of the USSR have the right to education. The right is ensured by universal compulsory elementary education by education, including higher education, being free of charge, by the system of state stipends for the overwhelming majority of students in the universities and colleges. And it goes on talking about free speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion. It's one of the finest constitutions you could ever read. And it never, ever existed in reality, and in fact, why? Because the entire communist system lacks virtue. It lacks integrity. It is corrupt from beginning to end. It is an impossibility. And so what purpose did it serve? It served the purpose of those who wanted power, who took power, and who used their power at all costs to keep their power. And Russia, today, is an offshoot of the old Soviet Union. Why am I even mentioning this? Well, let's take a look. Let's look at our Constitution, if we may, right here. And let's look at our Bill of Rights, and you tell me if any of this is under attack today. The First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press are the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Well, first of all, free speech is clearly under attack. The government has been working with big tech and the big oligarchs from the Silicon Valley. The government is also putting out propaganda endlessly and has been doing this for 100 years. But it has really come to a pinnacle today, hasn't it? What else? A well-regulated militia, Second Amendment, being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And yet, we have a president and a Democratic Party that seek to infringe it every week. By executive order, by legislation, by propaganda, any way they can. Let's move on. The Third Amendment, no soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be proscribed by the law. The Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall be issued, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be searched. This amendment was violated the other day when Mar-a-Lago was raided. A hack judge, a master, if you will, signing off on a warrant that was prepared by the Department of Justice, an outrageous assault on a former president and likely candidate for president again, against the very administration that raided his home. And for what? The Fifth Amendment, no person shall be held the answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime, unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces and so forth, may not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for the public use without just compensation. We have people rotting in a jail in Washington, D.C. who haven't seen the inside of a courtroom yet, and they are rotting there on minor misdemeanors, on parading and trespassing. I'm not talking about violent rioters. I'm talking about everyday citizens, a 69-year-old grandmother who is receiving cancer treatments, given 60 days, while up in New York City and most of our other cities, people are brutalizing, people are arrested 100, 150, 200 times, in the front door, out the back door. You might say that's because we have two systems of justice. No, we have one system of justice, it is injustice, and the application is what's inconsistent, which I'll get to in a minute. There are other parts of the Bill of Rights. But this, the 10th Amendment, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. And that is under attack. That's why the Supreme Court, constitutional justices are being threatened and people are now at their homes, threatening them. And we have an attorney general who will not enforce federal criminal law against them. And that's where I want to come down here. Two FBI offices were involved in Washington and South Florida. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, Matthew Graves, a radical Democrat. His wife is a radical Democrat. You don't appoint radical Democrats to the Deputy Attorney General, Associate Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division, Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division, and the U.S. Attorney for the Washington, D.C. District. The National Archives is in that U.S. Attorney's District, as is the January 6th issue. And so we're being manipulated, our law is being manipulated. We have an attorney general who sues states when he disagrees with their position on abortion, even though the Supreme Court said and the 10th Amendment says it's a matter up to the states. They're trying to change voting in the states to accommodate their party, so they can keep power and expand their power. So they sue states under phony claims under the Voting Rights Act. They are now issuing subpoenas to state legislatures all throughout the country, including most recently in Pennsylvania. They seized the iPhone of a member of Congress. Only Republicans, in violation of separation of powers, because they are now criminalizing challenges to presidential electors, criminalizing challenges which empowers these radicals. This group of political apparatchiks here at the Department of Justice, and they're doing it before the midterm elections, and they're doing it fairly close to the 2024 elections to send a message, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what they're doing. Now, what do they want? I wrote a book called American Marxism for a reason. Now, let's look at what Marx says, because many of these people, you may not believe it, they're not liberals. They're not progressives, they're Marxists, and neo-Marxists. Marxists of a Leninist sort or neo-Marxist of an American sort. What did Marx say? Number 1, abolition of property and land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. Just look at these tax bills, look at these regulations, just look at what they did at the virus. You can't collect your rent and so forth. Where in our constitution has the federal government have this kind of power? In fact, where in your state constitutions? Do the states have this kind of power? Number 2, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. We certainly have that. Number 3, abolition of all right of inheritance. We certainly have a lot of that going on in a push to absolutely eliminate the ability to pass what you've earned, with your labor, with your sweat and your tears to your children. Centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. That would be the Federal Reserve Bank, the Federal Reserve Board, which is destroying our monetary system in order to permit, and in order to subsidize the fiscal destruction that these people are doing in their debt and deficit spending. What else? Centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. Wow. Centralization of the means of communication. I wrote a book called On Freedom of the Press. Our media is a one-way media. It is an appendage of the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party is an appendage of centralized government. The bureaucracy and the Democratic Party are one and the same. The media and the Democratic Party are one and the same. Our colleges and universities and the Democratic Party are one of the same. And the Democratic Party has become, at long last, a party that hates America and hates the Constitution. Others, number 9, a combination of agriculture and manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country, but a more equitable distribution of the population over the country. We've talked about this. How HUD and the federal government wants to change our zoning laws to eliminate the suburbs. Well, there it is, number 9. Number 10, free education for all children in public schools. Now, why do they want to do that? Critical race theory, transgenderism, anti-capitalism, anti-Americanism. There's a reason why the Democratic Party and the press in the summer of 2020 not only refused to condemn the violence, the attack on our founding, the attack on our monuments, the attack on our history. There is a reason why they pretend critical race theory doesn't exist, but then embrace it and promote it, because they want to indoctrinate our children. And then finally, what is also said in the Communist Manifesto, but not in these 10 points, the elimination of the traditional nuclear family. By God, they are certainly doing that, aren't they? And then, of course, what others have said who've lived under totalitarianism, changing the language. The recession is not a recession. Inflation at 8.5% is zero inflation. Don't you know? Women aren't women unless we can say they're women for historical firsts. And we could go on and on and on with the propaganda that we're told that we must comply with and regurgitate. That's what's going on. What took place at Mar-a-Lago, let me be very, very clear, is a message being sent to all Americans that the ruling class is in revolt, that they need to take down Trump, two phony impeachments, a phony criminal investigation, a phony investigation in Albany, New York, a phony investigation in Fulton County, Georgia, a January 6th unconstitutional committee, a U.S. attorney with ties to Obama completely rogue and out of control. That's what's going on. The ruling class is saying, you will listen to us. We will rule over you. We want conformity. You're not to speak against us. You're not to protest against us, and by God, you're not to vote against us. And if we can crush Donald Trump, we will send a message that we can crush each and every one of you. That's what took place at Mar-a-Lago. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.